Welcome to a Toxic Talk Tuesday on Chris Fabry Live. Go through the highways and byways and beckon those who would like to live toxin-free and tell them about our get-together here today. Shall we begin with old William and say, this story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by. From this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered, we few, we happy few, we band of toxic brothers. For he today that sheds his toxins with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England and Ottumwa now abed shall think themselves accursed they did not hear this conversation on a Toxic Talk Tuesday. Fortunately, they can listen to the podcast if they'd like. A little Crispin day for you on this special edition of Chris Fabry Live, because my personal toxic life coach is back and we have a lot to accomplish. So we give some highbrow reading there for our lowbrow humor. Isn't that great? A quiz cometh round about, a test. So stay with us. Go ahead. You can.
Did you write that?
That was William Shakespeare, my dear.
I'm very impressed with your writing.
Famous Henry V. A quiz cometh roundabout. See if you can outwit the wits of your host. Here's our number, 1-877-LIVE-675. ChrisFabryLive.org is the website. Tricia McMillan's our producer. Eric Hufford has his hands full today, I'll tell you that. And Elizabeth Asaturo is answering your calls at that number. Shall we go ahead and introduce our guest, Eric with the music? There we go. Andrea Fabry back again with us today, my own personal toxic life coach.
Have you mentioned that we're going to be going into the shower, the bathroom area, and talking about the cleaning of the bathroom? I mean, it's kind of a daunting topic, but I want to let our listeners know it's going to be fascinating. I promise.
Okay. You let it go. That's fine. We're going to do that today, because here's where I want to start. You're going to give me a test, and you've been building this up for weeks now for me, and I have not looked at any of the questions. This is a cold test. I've never seen this. I want to quiz you before we get started, though. This is from Reuters. What is the filthiest surface Americans encounter on their way to work? This is a quiz for the quiz giver. Have you heard of this yet? Have you seen it? Germs galore await you each day, according to a personal hygiene study released today. On this day, the 25th of October, a team of hygienists swabbed hundreds of surfaces around six U.S. cities, Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, Miami, and Philadelphia, to see what everyday objects are breeding grounds for the worst bacteria and viruses. Testers analyzed swabs of the surfaces for levels of adenosine triphosphate, which signals the presence of animal, vegetable, bacteria, yeast, or mold cells, and the high levels found suggest they can be transmitting illnesses, researchers said. What do you think, Andrea Fabry, my personal toxic life coach, what do you think was the top place they found such germs? Now, this is not in the office. This is on the way to work in these kind of public things that everybody touches.
I would say door handles.
Good job, Eric. We hadn't even asked you to do that. Door handles. Anything else? Is what comes to mind. A door handle.
Steering wheel.
Okay. Gas pump handles.
Oh.
Was the number one breeding ground for this. Public mailboxes, escalator rails, and ATM buttons. Closely followed by parking meters, crosswalk buttons, and buttons on vending machines in shopping
it's enough
malls.
Enough to just stay home, isn't it?
Yeah. Glad I work at the Cactus Compound. So I thought that would be an interesting way to
get
into this.
Great way to start.
Absolutely.
And a way for you to avoid this test.
For those unfamiliar with Toxic Talk Tuesday, let's tell people where we've been. We've been doing this for about 3 months, I think. And next month, Toxic Holiday Tips, I believe, is where we're going. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Andrea, where have we been in the house?
Well, thank you for asking that, Chris. We've been to the laundry room. We started there because chemicals stay on our skin, and we sleep with chemicals 24 hours a day on our sheets and bedding and clothing and so forth.
Yes, of course.
Then we went to the kitchen, and we talked about having a non-toxic kitchen. and how to do that. Then we sidestepped a bit because of consumer interest in the subject of personal care products.
Okay.
But I've always been eager.
Overwhelming is like a tsunami of people saying, please tell me.
Yes. Okay. So we're back on track. Laundry room, kitchen, bathroom now today.
Laundry. So we're still going to be.
No, I'm sorry. This is our progression.
Okay, I see.
Laundry
we went to the laundry room.
Kitchen, very important.
And
bathroom
now,
has its unique aspects.
Bathroom.
Yes.
Bathroom. And then next month it will be holiday.
January is food.
Oh. Mm.
Can't wait for the quiz on that.
Excellent. Okay. All right. So if you're ready, again, I have not looked at these questions. I'm only going on independent knowledge that I have. I am not an auditory learner. So it may take me a couple times to listen to these quiz questions, these test questions. But here we go. Andrea Fabry, here's
number
the test.
One. The average man uses this many personal care products each day.
Mm.
A, 3, B, 5, C, 7, D, 9.
I'll say D, 9.
Mm. Too bad, but very close and a very, very educated guess, may I say. Actually, women use an average of 12 products a day. Men use an average of 7. And so 9 was the average. So I would give you a half a
well,
point.
No, you don't have to do that. It's
well,
the
I'm
answer
happy
was
to do that.
7.
I'm happy to do that. Really, I'd like to do that for you.
The answer was 7.
But that's a lot of personal care products for a man.
You're giving me 8 questions, right? If we have time for it.
Well, we can adjust according to time.
I'm just trying to think, how many can I get wrong and still pass?
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Question number 2.
According to a 2008 American Association of Poison Control Centers annual report, this was the top cause of poisoning in children under 5. A, household cleaning substances. B, painkillers. C, cosmetics / personal care products. And D, foreign bodies / toys.
Oh, boy, that could be. But this is the top. Okay, I'll say the top one is B, the. What was B?
B was painkillers.
No, not B. What was A?
A was household cleaning substances.
Household cleaning substances. I'll say, by the look on your face, I might need to change. I might need to change.
I was assuming that you said, okay, all right, go ahead, change.
I was going to say, is it toward the beginning of the alphabet or down a little bit?
It's within the first 4 letters of the alphabet.
Okay, I'll stick with A. That's what I thought. Cleaning supplies.
No. The answer is cosmetic personal care products.
Really?
Yes.
You're like babies are eating mascara?
Interesting you'd say that. Well, we have another question about that, but yes. Yes. I mean, things that we shampoos and that kind of things that we wouldn't expect, soaps and all that, because they do contain toxins.
And so they're taken to the hospital or the doctor's office because they've ingested this kind
yes.
of thing?
Yes. Well, I think that's number of phone calls to the
phone call.
Poison
okay.
control centers,
somebody made
I believe.
A phone call.
Yes.
All right. There's 2 questions. Now we're up to number 3.
Okay. So far, 0 out of 2. Well, half. The manufacturer of this consumer product warns against using it near birds. Because it can damage a bird's lungs with alarming speed.
I think right. I know this one because you mentioned it to somebody else the other day.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
A, ant spray. B, nonstick cookware. C, weed killer. D, furniture polish.
Okay. And it's the nonstick cookware.
It is.
It's B.
That's okay.
Because I saw the video on your website.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
And
okay.
You said that.
So you got 1.5. That's good.
1.5 out of 3.
Number 4.
No. Oh. I've only gotten 1. I
okay.
want to play
all right,
this
let's,
fairly.
Okay.
This is like you're giving
right.
me a mulligan on my first 9.
So true. And you
wait.
Don't want that. Okay.
No, I don't.
All right.
I want
next
any part
question.
Of it.
When purchased new, this consumer product emits well over 14 compounds, 7 of which are classified by the EPA as hazardous air pollutants. These hazardous compounds include methylene chloride, methyl alcohol, toluene, and phenol. This product is A, leather sofa, B, printer, C, vinyl shower curtain, D, washing machine.
I'll say the vinyl shower curtain, C.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Because that thing, it's just like a, well, I won't go into it. It's the plastic. It's just, it's a big
plastic. And the vinyl.
Smell.
And the vinyl, the whole combination. Yes. And actually, the EPA says it will diminish your indoor air quality for 1 month after you purchase it.
So what's the answer to that? Leave
we're
it outside?
We're going to get to that. No. Oh, okay. No, right. We're going to get to that.
I don't
want
to get too
jumping
fast.
Ahead.
I tell you, I'm just so excited about Toxic Talk Tuesday.
Now, this is a review question.
This is number five.
Yes. And I mean, we've talked about this.
I'm at 50%, folks.
Okay. This is the last program we talked about this. But you have a lot on your mind during the program. So I want to let you know, I don't expect necessarily that you'll remember this. But our listeners who listened last time may. Many consumer products have the word fragrance on their labels. Mm-hmm. 95% of the synthetic compounds making up these fragrances are derived from A, sodium chloride, B, stearates, C, petroleum, D, sodium dioxide.
I remember making fun of your petroleum and saying something about how this is how you get your car to pick up your children. So I'll say petroleum.
Very good. Yes.
Yes.
95% of those substances in fragrance are petroleum. All right. Are we ready? Do we have time for one more?
Let's see. 11 after here. Ooh. Let's do one more question.
Okay.
And this will be the sixth question,
yes,
right?
This is also review.
I'm 3 out of 5. Let's see if we can go 4 out of 6.
One of the primary ingredients in antibacterial soaps, triclosan, is classified by the EPA as A, drug, B, pesticide, C, waste product, D, dioxide.
I'll say pesticide.
Yes.
Oh, I'm getting so good now. I missed the first two, and now we're just picking up
steam. Turn the corner, you've turned the corner.
Picking up steam. Okay, let me take our first break here. We'll come back and we'll finish the quiz. Thank you, Eric. And then we're going to get to toxins or toxic stuff in the bathroom right here on Chris Fabry Live with Andrea Fabry, my personal toxic life coach.
To reach the studio now, call 877-LIVE-675. Back with more Chris Fabry Live after this break.
Thanks for joining us today for Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org. This is our monthly Toxic Talk Tuesday with Andrea Fabry, formerly Andrea Kessel, mother of 9, former co-host of Midday Connection. She now co-hosts Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, founder and president of Moms Aware, helping people make the connection between toxicity and health and encouraging them on their challenging and often overwhelming journey. We'll talk more about that, but we need to finish the quiz. You can take the quiz online. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you can link to Moms Aware and take the quiz there and see the answers. And there are more questions than what we're going to give you here
15
today.
Questions. We actually have a contest going and prizes. So, yeah.
See, this is the problem with toxins. You let them in and they take over.
That's exactly right.
They just...
So true. That illustration is going to work when we talk about mold coming up in just 5 minutes.
Ooh, I can't wait. All right, Andrea, the seventh question.
Petroleum distillates are petrochemicals that have been distilled in refineries and then refined further. Consumer products containing petroleum distillates include motor oil, furniture polish, lighter fluid, and this personal care product. A, shampoo. B, baby oil. C, toothpaste. D, liquid hand soap.
Baby oil.
Yes. Very good. Just because, did you just...
I thought, well, that's going to be the one that you'd never think it would be in, because it's got the word baby in it.
Yeah.
You think, you want to keep that WD-40 or the 10W-30 as far away from my child as you can. You wanted to shock us. I can tell. I know
did.
What your
I was
agenda
hoping
is,
for
Andrea
that.
Fabry. Okay,
all
so
right,
now I'm 5
one.
Out of 7. I'm feeling
Very
pretty good.
Good.
I'm feeling pretty
I
good.
I have a choice
of Tricia
two.
Only got 6 out of 15.
Well, but you haven't taken the other 7, but that's okay.
But if I get this one, I will have at least matched my producer.
True, in a way. According to the National Poison Control Center, this consumer personal care product can poison a small child, A, eyeshadow, B, diaper rash cream. C, mouthwash. D, toothpaste.
This, read the question one more time. According
this
to the
common personal care product can poison a small child.
Can poison. Poison. Okay, I'm just going to go off the top of my head and say toothpaste.
Mm. So did you tie Trisha or not?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's still ahead of me, but she had seven more chances.
Mouthwash.
Mouthwash.
Alcohol and other things.
All right. Yeah. Now, Andrea Fabry again with us. Why bring all this up and scare us? Because I'm never going to use baby oil again. Well, it makes me think that stuff for diaper rash is okay.
It could be. It might be. Possibly. It's learning to read the labels. Ideally, in the end, the exciting part of what I hope to do is empower people to make their own products where you see what you're putting in them.
So when you use mouthwash, you don't buy it from
a
local store.
Mm-hmm.
You make it.
Put oil of oregano. I've got all sorts of little recipes.
Uh-huh.
It's antibacterial. I mean, once you study the gift we've been given with plants and especially essential oils, it's amazing what you can make.
Okay. Well, I'm sold, as you can tell, folks.
But let me say one other thing about fear, if I might.
Please.
If I may. Excuse me. Which is right?
Either way, one,
really?
Because
okay.
You're the guest.
The idea isn't to be afraid. The idea is to be aware, and there's a very big difference. And this brings me to today's topic. When I think of the bathroom, I think of pathogens and plumbing. So not only do you
Boy,
have...
Boy, do I too. Always.
You have doubled the
plumbing.
You think
plumbing. Of pathogens and plumbing?
Correct. It's a recipe
well,
and
who
it
doesn't?
Is all space.
It's a what?
It's a small space, too. So the ventilation.
Yes.
So really, outdoor plumbing was a great idea. Indoor plumbing, not so much. So
this is the lady I need to take back to West Virginia, because there are places that you would feel very at home, my pathogenic friend. Okay, so now you're right. If we go into look at an apartment or a home to rent now or purchase down the road at some point, one of the things that we do is we go in the bathroom.
Correct.
And we lift up the lid of the toilet and we look for mold and, you know, water, or you look for leaks in there. And you also look for how does the air get out of this bathroom out of the house?
Very good. The ventilation fan.
Yes.
But I still need to go back.
Or a window. Or, you know, it could be
and
a window.
The windows aren't often in bathrooms. And even if they are, we often don't open them. So
yes.
The ventilation isn't good. Ventilation is very important in an indoor environment. But the fear awareness issue, I go to the Roadrunner on this one.
Oh, me
don't
too.
Don't you?
Every
I know. Isn't that popped into your mind when
well,
you hear the word
first
bathroom?
I go to the Morning Dove, and then I quickly go to the Roadrunner.
Because when we moved to Arizona, this was the highlight for me of driving. Was seeing these roadrunners cross the road. I just think that is just a fascinating sight. And they can go 17 miles an hour, but the cars are going quite fast. Well, what is it about the roadrunner that enables them to cross the road? It is their awareness. They are vigilant. They know what they're doing. And so when you picture the roadrunner, that's how you want to picture yourself. The roadrunner is not afraid. It's not thinking, well, I better not do that. I can't, you know, that would be like us saying, well, I can't live in a house then. It's too many possible problems. He's saying,
pathogens,
no, I can call you pathogens and plumbing problems. Potential. That's a lot of peace. So instead, he's very aware of its surroundings. And that's how we want to be. And that's what I'm trying to say. You don't have to be afraid. In fact, I feel less afraid than I've ever felt in my life.
Because knowledge is power, isn't it, Andrea?
Very good.
You know, the thing I love about roadrunners is that they are very human. They're not afraid of humans either, which maybe sometimes they ought to be. But they will, if you're walking on a trail out here in the desert, many times you will see a roadrunner coming up behind you. They're really intelligent birds, because what will happen as you walk through the desert is it will rustle up a lot of the little insects and the things that will fly around that a roadrunner eats. And so when he sees humans or she, then he will see food because it will start. Isn't that a fact?
I have a lot to do in this hour.
Okay, sorry. I thought it was my program, but obviously not. Okay, Ms. Toxic, go ahead.
So when we think of plumbing, we think of the possibility of mold. I'm not going to spend all hour, though I would love to, because I frankly love the topic. But this is where awareness is key and probably would have really helped us several years ago. Yeah. But when you understand the potential for problems with mold, you can be vigilant. And one of those is exactly what you mentioned, and that is making sure that your ventilation fan works. The other is to know that what you're dealing with is very serious, and most people don't know this. It's like, oh, it's just a little mold, especially when you see it on the wall. When you see it as a surface issue on the shower, it can be cleaned in all likelihood, and you want to do that. Shower curtains can accumulate mold. Don't want the vinyl ones anyway, so better to get a fabric
shower curtain.
Yes, because you can wash it every week. I wash ours every week, every 2 weeks, just because then I know it's clean. And it's not accumulating mold.
With the detergent that you've made yourself.
Correct.
Okay.
The other thing is to know that, well, let me do this word picture on mold, because I think this will help. Because people like to say, well, I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to cut it out and I'm going to deal with it.
Yes.
I wish it were that easy. And it may be, if it's less than 10 feet and contained and you're sure it's not anywhere else, that's a possibility of fixing yourself. However, what you're dealing with is like a dandelion. Okay. When you pick a dandelion and try to get it its root, okay,
mm-hmm.
you pick it, what are the chances that those seeds are not going to scatter?
Very little, because, Andrea, most places where I've lived, there's air current, and they're very fragile once they go to seed.
Very good. Very good. This is how mold is. The spores, okay, one more educational piece here, 20 million 5-micron spores fit on a postage stamp. 20 million on a postage stamp. And I'm not sharing this information to scare you, but it helps to know this. So you don't want to be casual about finding water damage in a bathroom.
How about angels dancing on a postage stamp? You got any numbers for that? That's next quiz. Okay. All right. You mentioned, though, if it's on some kind of surface like vinyl or a shower curtain, that kind of thing, it's one thing. If it's on the wall, though, if it's growing on the particle board or on the ceiling, what mold needs in order to grow is food, right?
Yes. And
moisture.
Moisture. Moisture and darkness. So behind the wall, you've got it. And so a lot of people like to put bleach on the drywall. Bleach or even hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide is much better, by the way. However, A, bleach does not kill the mold. It kills the mold spores, but it doesn't kill the dead ones.
Which means that it's the other analogy there that I've used throughout the years, Andrea, is the rattlesnake. You can chop the head off of a rattlesnake, and I don't mean to get too graphic for you children listening, but if you, this will be helpful if you ever come to the desert. You can kill a rattlesnake, and it can still bite you. It's the same thing with what you're talking about, these mold spores. You can kill the spores, but the mycotoxins that come after them are like the bite with the venom.
Very good. And what's interesting is roadrunners are one of the few creatures that can kill rattlesnakes. See, again, empowering to us.
And me, too.
We can,
I killed one last year.
If we know and we catch it early, you can take care of it. So the idea is to properly contain it and properly treat it. That's a whole nother program. So
yes.
I'm just...
Yes.
One more issue on chlorine bleach, okay?
Okay.
Chlorine, according to the EPA, they have this children's home tour of their home to teach them about...
Just to decide, though, if we ever have a 10th child, I want to name her Chlorine.
It's actually a pretty
name. I love
name.
That name.
So here's what it says. This is the EPA talking to children. Did you know that a pesticide is added to your washing machine to help keep your white clothes white? This pesticide is also found in many household cleaning products that contain a disinfectant to kill germs. And it's found in household products used to clean mold and mildew from your shower or tub. Can you guess what that pesticide is?
Chlorine.
Chlorine bleach.
Yeah. Chlorine bleach.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one more reason to take, we started with that. That was our first program. Take the bleach out. Feels like you might not be able to live like that, but A, knowing that it's not going to kill the mold, the non-viable mold spores, not going to do it. And B, when you put it behind the, if you put it on the wall, water's going into the wall. So then it can grow. So that's why a lot of times people will bleach it and it comes back and they don't know why. Those are the two reasons.
The most common thing that I've heard when people hear our story about mold is, well, why didn't you just put bleach on it? You know, or And that is the common response.
And it's not true because of the non-viable issue. It does kill some mold. So that part is true.
Yes. If you have the type of mold, the really difficult, well, one of the really difficult strains, though, the bleach will make it, won't make
more,
it
more lipid soluble. And I have
whatever that
I,
means. More assimilable into the system,
yes,
through the pores of the,
yeah,
skin.
So it's working against you. It's not helping. Chlorine bleach
scared.
Is.
I'm
but
just,
I do know you're becoming aware.
I'm becoming aware, and I'm becoming close to the bottom of the break. So let's take a break. We'll come back. And what are you? You're going to take us again into the bathroom.
I'm going to talk about what can I use to clean the bathroom,
okay,
then. And we'll talk about what can I use to clean the mildew and the mold, the little spots in there.
All right. Here's the number, 1-877-LIVE-675 or 877-548-3675. If you've been helped in the past by the queen of toxic talk, you can call Andrea Fabry today at 877-LIVE-675. And when we come back, we will find out more about, okay, how do I actually do that? How do I clean? And some people said, it doesn't feel like I'm cleaning my clothes unless I use that chlorine bleach. How can I clean my bathroom and have it feel clean if I'm making this by myself? Answers coming up here on the next segment of Chris Fabry Live. Welcome back to Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org. We're talking with the president of Moms Aware today, and if you want to take the whole quiz test, the toxic test, you can go to chrisfabrylive.org. We have the quiz there. We have it on our Facebook page. It's also at Moms Aware's page. You can find it there with the link. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. All right, Andrea Fabry is back. Let's jump right in now to this room of the house that we've been waiting to
go in. We want
to
know how to clean it,
and
don't
we don't talk about on Christian radio, we don't talk about the restroom, the bathroom, water closet. We don't talk about it that often.
So let's go back to the laundry room, and what did we use there?
You used
just this, basically
this
two ingredients overall. What
apple? No, vinegar, white
vinegar, very good.
White vinegar and washing soap.
Okay,
washing soda,
good, very good. And baking soda, and so basically acid and alkaline, correct? So it's the same thing. And even for personal care products, only we're using clay and organic apple cider vinegar. For cleaning, you're fine using white vinegar and baking soda. So those two products alone could clean your bathroom. So, but there's all sorts of variations of that. White vinegar can be used anywhere, floors, mirrors, anything. If the odor is offensive, and it is an adjustment at first, I think we'll admit that.
Well, we went through the car with it when we first got this, you know, car, and wiped it down with vinegar, and you got in there and it smelled like vinegar.
So you can dilute it. You can add pine essential oil. You can add
tea tree oil.
Yeah. Some people have a problem with that. Lemon. You could add lemon. I really like lime in white vinegar. There's something about that that kind of diminishes the odor. So that's a tip. Now, let me just say something about essential oils. This is where everything is going to be much, much, much cheaper. So the money that you're going to spend will be on essential oils because they add so much. So let me say that what you want is 100% pure essential oils.
Okay. You meaning me or them?
I'm looking at you, okay. But you know, our listeners,
what
this
I want,
is a play along. Yes.
Say it again. What I want is essential oils
that are 100% pure. And okay. The way that you know this, and you can do your research, you can contact a company, you can, you know, all of that. But to check out what you have, if you've got some lemon essential oil, put it on a sheet of paper, a few drops, and see if it all evaporates. If it all evaporates, you've got a pure product. If anything's left, there's some petroleum in there.
Anything left, meaning?
A residue of any type.
A residue. Okay.
So a good quality essential oil will evaporate completely on
from
the
even
paper.
A piece of paper and not leave like a little indentation?
No. Well, you can see, but there's nothing on the surface of
okay.
Done
it. If it has oil, some kind of petroleum, you can rub it with your finger and it'll have a film type
correct.
Of thing.
Correct. Very
okay.
Good. All right. Very good.
Just trying to figure it out.
One other interesting fact about essential oils is a little goes a long way. So 1 pound of leaves makes one drop of oil.
Hmm.
So this is why I think they're such a great investment. They will last a long time. You could put 3 drops in your washing machine, and that's going to go a long way because you're basically putting 3 pounds of leaves.
So, something tells me that's going to be on a test one of these days.
But you will have remembered it. I know you will.
1 pound of leaves is a drop. Okay, gotcha.
For the bathroom, you can add some antimicrobial effect with grapefruit seed extract. And there again, you want to make sure it's a pure product. There's a great one out there, and you could use, even if you just want to use that and no vinegar, you could put 25 drops in 1 cup water and make your own antimicrobial. The issue is with the vinegar and the tea tree oil is just you want to disinfect the bathroom. So you can naturally and cheaply.
And you don't have to go to the store and buy whatever it is that you come home and spray and it...
No, and it clutters up your bathroom. Look under your sink and see how many products are under there and imagine only a couple. You just need a scrubber and the white vinegar or whatever you're using for spray.
I'm thinking of a song. Imagine all those products.
The toxic.
Yeah, okay.
All right, are you okay moving to the commode, if you will?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's a big... This is where we like the bleach. And think about bleach as you would a pesticide. When I think about pesticides now, all I think is they what to the pests? What do?
Kill.
They kill. They don't deter them. They don't gently say, please go away. They're killing them.
Yeah. So is there a problem with that in your mind? I think pests,
I don't like them. There are natural pesticides. We've used them here, and that's a whole nother program.
Yes. That's a week.
But again... And the reason bleach works on your clothes so well is it's so strong. And so if you're in the bathroom cleaning with bleach, that's not very good air because it's the gas part of it. And if you combine with ammonia, that's very toxic. So playing around with these chemicals is not a good idea.
Okay.
So knowing
I'm
that,
I'm staying away from
knowing
it.
That. It's I know it's a big hurdle and it's probably best done gradually. So take one product at a time. When you run out, try this. Or you can do the whole thing. I've known people to go in and just throw it all out. That's fine. But you don't have to do that. Just think of doing it step by step. I had someone write me yesterday and she said, I just ran out of my floor cleaner. What's a good option for me? That sounds great.
Not a fear right there,
yes.
Folks. That's awareness.
Right there is awareness. Yes, it is. All right. So, I wanted to do the commode. You can put borax. Remember, we did talk about borax in the laundry room.
Yes,
so we're expanding our supply list a little, but we're only talking maybe 5 to 7 products to need on hand. But if you pour about a cup of borax in the night before, let it soak and then clean it, it's good to go.
With the little scrubber thing.
Yes.
That's okay. Now, what about those deals?
The wands, not a good idea. They have bleach. And I remember trying to... that's the one product I held on to when we were making the change.
Yes.
Not ready to let that go. It hit my hand. And because I'm so hyper-reactive now to chemicals, it just... I got welts for weeks. I still have the scars.
You had welts for
weeks?
I
did, right there. I don't know if you remember that. See, I like alliteration.
Everything is alliteration today. Welts for weeks. Okay.
So try that. The vinegar and the baking soda combination that we talked about in the laundry room works. You can use tea tree oil. It's basically the same thing. You can use a pumice stone with plastic gloves and scrape. So if you really want to add, if you're very concerned about disinfecting after you clean your bathroom with white vinegar and you want to go over it again with hydrogen peroxide, that combination is unbeatable. It's been proven in studies. We talked about it with a listener on a previous program.
And if your baby crawls then into the bathroom, opens those doors that you should have had secured and gets into the white vinegar, you're not going to have to call the phone number.
Right. It might, burn a little bit, but it's not going to be like the bleach.
Yeah.
And
or get it in its eyes, that would be.
Yeah. I mean, some of this and some of the essential oils you have to be careful with, but it's totally different than it is with the skull and crossbones on it.
Evelyn on Facebook says, does she have any tips? I think she meaning you. Does she have any tips for moms with little boys whose...
you can stop.
Little
I know
boys,
exactly.
Okay. And bleach is the only thing that deodorizes the floor around the
Well, I'm thing. Just wondering if this listener has tried tea tree oil. because that is a very
strong... That was my first question.
I'm sure it was. We tend to like that bleach smell,
yes,
because we think that that's clean. And once you eliminate chemicals, you're going to find that you're going to be more aware of natural odors, and it's going to start to smell good and feel clean, but you're missing. I know exactly what she means. That's the only way I feel it's clean. And
yes,
that's not, it's actually not true.
But it's the same thing with clothes in the laundry room. If Evelyn had been listening earlier, a lot of us, and we're not beating you
no
up, we're just glad you're here today. A lot of people say the same thing about having the fabric softener or the dryer sheets.
Can't live without it.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss that. And there are always alternatives. This is the one thing that I've learned and I've become so excited about. The first year of this whole process, and again, let me say again, we did this out of medical necessity. So I had to do this to find things that we didn't react to. The whole time I was, we can't have this. Best thing that's ever happened. This is the good that comes from the bad. Because we were forced to, I will never go back. And we are less reactive than we were and probably could possibly mm-hmm. use some of these products. But now that I've discovered how
once you've
clean,
been to what this you've been? Place, once you've been to the essential oil and the white vinegar and the borax, you'll never go back.
One more thing to Evelyn. Was it Evelyn?
Yes.
Okay. I'm coming. There is a recipe that I'm giving today called the Vinegar of the Four Thieves that I think will dazzle you when you come to cleaning this up.
So okay.
Good things are in store.
Take our break and come back. And if you want to call, you call right now. We've got one segment left here on Toxic Talk Tuesday.
Have a comment about the program today? Call 877-LIVE-675. Stay with us. Chris Fabry Live will continue in a moment.
This is our Toxic Talk Tuesday broadcast for October with Andrea Fabry. Find out more about her online at chrisfabrylive.org. You can link to her website, momsaware.org, right there at chrisfabrylive.org. You can take the whole test, the whole toxic test, all 15 questions, and see the answers. I got 5 out of 8, I think it was.
Yeah, you did very well.
I'm happy with that today.
You should be.
That gives me room to improve. Now, before we go to the people's questions, anything further than about the bathroom and about what we just talked about?
Only the recipe for the Vinegar of the Four Thieves.
Okay.
And the other thing before we leave this would be the reason that you are listening today. I know this is such good news. Hand soap, liquid hand soap. We all love it. What possibly could I do that's cheap and something that we'll accomplish?
Okay, go back to the way we started the program. Gas pumps, you go to the grocery store, you're in, you see these, the wipes,
yeah,
you know, that you put there, and those are usually mostly alcohol.
Bleach or alcohol,
or bleach.
Yeah, all sorts of chemicals
so
in that.
So
I started making our own liquid soap, and it couldn't be any easier. So take whatever liquid soap you have, finish it off, rinse it out, and put... We're back to the kitchen now. We introduced liquid Castile soap. We used the bar soap before. So the liquid Castile soap, put maybe 30% of liquid soap, fill it with water, put the top back on, and you have your hand soap. If you have a foaming hand soap, just use a tiny bit of Castile soap and then water. Easiest, cheapest thing you could possibly do.
And you don't have to go to the hand sanitizer area. Are you suggesting?
I've said in the bathroom, you know, just to keep your soap supply going,
yeah,
because liquid soap is a very good thing.
Are you suggesting then that people who work in the nursery don't put hand sanitizer in there with the alcohol?
I think this would be great in work environments. This would be a great project for somebody to take on. It's like, well, let's save money with some of these projects, and I know we can make this liquid hand soap for everybody will benefit. So absolutely, in a church nursery or an office, it's just that easy.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
All right. The
Vinegar of the Four Thieves. What I like about this is this really is strong because it goes back to the Black Plague. At least that's the legend of it. It's been passed down for generations of how strong. Lots of recipes out there. Really, you know, you can pick and choose. Find one that you like. I like the combination of lavender, rosemary, sage, wormwood, rue, and mint. I have this recipe with a video on the website.
Oh, wow.
So no need to take this down now.
But tell me again, it's lavender,
rosemary, sage, wormwood, rue. Those are the two most people don't know. I didn't know those, but they have very medicinal qualities in and of themselves. And mint.
And see, all of those would be great kids' names, with along with chlorine. Lavender, rosemary,
sage. Well, chlorine. Sage is a pretty name. I'm not sure about wormwood, but
well, that
to
was
each
in,
his own on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that was in Screwtape Letters,
true.
So we could use that.
So you put organic, you know, the raw apple cider vinegar in a mason jar over these herbs, a handful of each. Leave it for 6 weeks, 4 weeks. Shake it a couple times a week. And then strain it and use it as a cleanser. And I believe Evelyn will be so happy with this.
And this is, you could use on the floor then,
yes,
like on a tile?
Anywhere, yes, not mirrors.
You know, that brings up a question that people who are looking at apartments or homes, if your bathroom has carpet in it around the next to the tub or next to the toilet, that's a problem.
It is a problem. And again, we moved into a home that had carpeting in pretty much all the bathrooms. And it's not a good idea. It's just, it holds on to moisture. And then under the carpeting's a very common place for mold. Very, very true.
Here's someone who asks, I have mold growing in the corner of the grout, I assume in the shower and the tile. I've used a mold remover cleaner, but it has bleach. For this mold in the shower, if you don't use bleach, what do you use to get rid of it? I don't want to get sick from it.
Very good. I like hydrogen peroxide. You can buy it in the 3% strength. You can buy it in the 12% strength. And then there's food grade hydrogen peroxide, which is very strong. You have to be very, very careful with it. But the 12% works well. And then if you clean it with that and then follow it with the white vinegar, that combination does a lot. You can also use the grapefruit seed extract. You can also try the tea tree oil. There are a lot of antifungal. The vinegar of the four thieves is a great thing to have on hand because that is very antifungal.
Can you use that on your skin, though, the Four Thieves thing?
I wouldn't. You can take it internally. You want to try a little. I mean, people have recipes of this, the vinegar of the Four Thieves, to use as salad dressing. It's all in which herbs you choose. So, but this I really did like for the cleaning aspect.
How do you keep then, Andrea,
yes, Chris,
from being obsessive about this? Because you and I both know, and don't answer that question yet. Just think about it.
Okay.
That'll be your last question while we go to Tammy in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hey, Tammy, what's your question or comment?
Hi. I do licensed child care. Uh-huh. We are mandated to use bleach.
Really? By whom? By the state?
The government authorities in our lives. Is there any way to tone the bleach monster? Or maybe is there some references that we could cite to possibly get a variance to say this is just as effective? Or
One is the EPA itself, that website for kids, which kind of lets us know how dangerous it is. I would do that. And the EPA says that soap and water are good enough antibacterials for our skin. So they acknowledge that. Which goes back to the soap and water, the liquid soap. You don't need a lot of things. As far as daycare, I don't know. That's a really tough question.
So
I don't know.
Bleach monster, you just basically have to get rid of it. There's nothing we can, maybe, I guess, to rewash after you initially wash. But it does. I mean, it takes the finishes off our toys. It takes, just those horrible things to wooden blocks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's tough. And you could dilute it quite a bit, obviously. Well, I don't know if this is cheating, but if you put vitamin C powder, it can neutralize some of those properties. But again, I can't speak
to the
law of that.
We don't want to get you in trouble
state,
dirt,
yeah.
Tammy.
But ventilate, definitely good ventilation, because it is the gaseous fumes that come out of it that are a very big problem.
Let's say, the last thing you would want on a toy would be chlorine for a child that might put it in its mouth.
Right.
So you would want, let's say the state mandates that. Mm-hmm. So you do go through the process and you wash that and then you rewash it with
the vinegar.
Whatever,
I would.
The Four Thieves
or
whatever.
I would. Yeah. I would.
And like a changing surface too. Every time you change a child, you're supposed to wipe it down with a bleach solution.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you should see some of these clothes. I made polka dots in because of all the clothes that have probably wrecked of these children, because it's not totally dry maybe sometimes. And, they reactivate it maybe with a moistness on their clothing and darn it. But, also the Red Cross for their first aid training also says to use a bleach.
I know.
Solution.
But, a lot of these laws, and it's hopefully going to be revised, I believe it will be in the next 20 years or so, are based on the idea that these chemicals don't go through the skin. And yet, we have nicotine patches, which show that it does, and same with estrogen patches and so forth. So there's a disconnect there as far as, you know, some of these chemicals and toxins that, you know, well, it's not going into the skin.
And it shows how pervasive it is. And in a sense, you know, I would rather have chlorine cleaning something that was has microbes, germs growing there, rather than not cleaning it.
I know. It's tough. Same with drinking water. Yeah, it is tough.
So how do you keep from, by the way, Andrea's going to be back on November 29th, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about holiday toxins. But how do you keep from being so
obsessive?
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't worry. You will be obsessed for a while. And so I want to encourage our listeners that that's okay. And I'm not endorsing obsessive compulsive, although when you are trying to change a habit in the brain, it takes up a lot of room in your brain. So I had to really focus on it for a long time. I felt like I was obsessing about it. And yet now that I'm on the other side of it, I think very little about what we're using. I think very little about products we buy. And so if you're a spouse listening and your spouse is interested in this and changing, and that's kind of hard and scary, what a gift to them to say, you know what? Good for you. Let's try that. Or whatever you come up with, I'll try. That is the way I think we can make these changes, as long as you understand that it's okay to obsess a little bit at first, and it's okay to do it slowly.
Well, good for you, Andrea. You know that I came to you when we were talking about the dish detergent, you know, there, and I said, it's not as sudsy. And you said, well, okay, well, let's try this. And you changed it a little bit. It got more sudsy.
Yeah, we've really worked together on that, and he has come so far in the things that he's tried. I'm so proud of you.
I've come a long way. I'm 5 out of 8, folks. Hey, if I were playing in the World Series and I was 5 out of 8, I would be right there on top. All right, Andrea, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
November 29th, she'll be back for a Toxic Talk Tuesday when we talk about holiday toxins, and then back for the new year. Oh, don't miss that one as we kick off the new year together. It's getting that time of the year. Chris Fabry Live's production of Moody Radio in Chicago. Find us online at chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks a lot for listening.